The Sinn Féin MEP Kathleen Funchen has been speaking about the lasting impact of the way she was treated by a former partner who has now been jailed under what's known as Coco's Law. As first reported by the Irish Examiner, Sean Tyrrell was convicted under the Harassment and Harmful Communications Act. Yesterday at Kilkenny Circuit Court, he was given a four-month prison sentence with a separate four-month term suspended for 2 years. The court was told that Tyrrell repeatedly made false allegations against the MEP and at one point contacted a national newspaper. A short time ago, I spoke to Kathleen Funchen and she began by telling me about how she came to know him.
I would have met him on and off, like maybe more than 10 years ago now, maybe 2014, 2013, around that time period, but just very briefly. He was involved with Sinn Féin, so I kind of got to know him that way. But then really, I suppose, got to know him in advance of the 2016 general election, where he was out campaigning and canvassing during that campaign that I was running for the Dáil. And then when I was subsequently elected, you know, we were kind of working more closely together, spent more time together, and the relationship grew from there. And we were kind of friends first and then got together in June of 2016.
And was there any particular point at which you realised something was wrong about this relationship, or did that realisation kind of come upon you slowly?
Yeah, so I think one of the reasons why I was anxious to speak about the situation is to maybe explain to people and for other people in the situation that it is something that you don't see happening, in terms of it's very subtle. When you're with somebody who is a controlling person, that doesn't happen overnight. It's subtle and it happens over time. And I suppose you really get to a stage where you feel like there's something wrong with you. And I suppose that's not something that, you know, you wake up one morning and realize this is not a good situation. It kind of happens over time. And I suppose I'm conscious that there is probably other people in situations like that. And they're probably thinking, you know, is there something wrong with me here in this situation? So I just kind of wanted to be able to stress that it can be very subtle, and you cannot see it creep up, and you can nearly become, you know, agreeable to some of the ways that this person acts towards you, you know, like handing over your phone and stuff like that, that you actually, when you're removed from the situation and you're speaking to other people, you realize that is not normal behavior, you know, that level of mistrust in a relationship. But because I think it happens subtly and over time, you don't necessarily see it like that, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. And what was it then? Was there a specific incident that prompted you to go to the Gardaí?
Yeah, so, I mean, definitely there was, you know, difficulties in terms of he continuously was alleging that I was unfaithful, you know, had absolutely no reason to think that and had no evidence to prove that was the case at all. And no matter what I said, he was adamant that, you know, I had been unfaithful in the relationship. And I found that very difficult. He wanted me to take a lie detector test, which I will say at one point I was considering doing. And I think that that's how it shows that it really gets into your head and you really do doubt yourself. That when I think about that now, that I nearly considered, I thought, look, this will resolve the issue. You know, I thought someone being able to go to your phone, that will resolve the issue. You can show there's nothing to hide. But I suppose the important thing here is that actually somebody that is controlling like that, no matter what you do, it's never going to be good enough. And when it got to a point where there was, you know, allegations being made to my friends' partners that they were had been, you know, unfaithful and all sorts of just ridiculous stuff that he was saying, none of which was true. And I think it kind of got to a head one weekend in August 2022, where I was really at breaking point. I was very, very upset. I wasn't sleeping. I wasn't eating. I was, you know, really, like, I feel like I spent all that time in my life crying. And I kind of got to a point where I initially reached out to the Amber Women's Refuge in Kilkenny, because I would have, you know, had dealings with Amber, and particularly Lisa Morris, who was the manager there, and spoke to them about the situation. And then that Monday I went into the guards and spoke to them, and was very, very lucky that I got to be able to speak to the Protective Services Unit of the Gardaí in Kilkenny, and they have been incredible and really, really unbelievable in the work that they do on a daily basis. But I just found that they were, you know, they were so objective, but they were so professional and so kind in their approach. And it really made me feel like I actually wasn't going crazy, you know.
That's an important point, isn't it? Because I think maybe too many of us still believe that to go to the Gardaí, there needs to be evidence of extreme physical abuse or something like that.
Yeah, it is. I think it's really important, first of all, like, that there is avenues there, that there is organisations like Women's Aid, like, let's say, for me, in Kilkenny, Amber, but also the Protective Services Units are there, and they are doing incredible work. And you can go in and speak with them and talk to them, and there is support there. And you're 100% right. Like, abuse, it can be physical, it can be emotional, that there's a range. And I think you're right that people sometimes think that they have to rock up, you know, with signs of physical abuse. But actually, some abuse, particularly now with technology as well, we can see it has taken a sinister turn. And a lot of it can be, you know, email, text messages, it can be online, that mental kind of psychological torture that somebody puts you through. And I really feel strongly, I suppose, that some of those Protective Services Units don't get the recognition that they deserve. You know, so I really hope as well I think they've been instrumental in the last number of years in people coming forward and people telling their stories, and ultimately people going forward and you know, getting a prosecution as such. So if we can do anything to highlight their work, I think that's really, really important.
Going back for a moment to your own story, I was struck by something you said there. You talked about spending a weekend crying. And I'm thinking that in a position like yours, where basically people expect you to be available 24/7 and where there is always going to be somebody calling on you, that must have been incredibly difficult.
Yeah, like it was definitely very difficult, I suppose. Sometimes, like, when I look back on that time, I do feel like I was nearly watching somebody else go through it. It was like this weird, nearly out of body situation. And I did find that I just had to try and keep myself going, and my own family, but also people that would have been working very closely with me, were instrumental in that, you know, I really leaned on them a lot during that time. And then I think, and I made reference to this in the court in my victim impact statement, that you nearly have to go through phases where you try and block sections of this out at various times for yourself in order to kind of, I suppose, get going and get yourself up and out and get your work done. And then the other side of that is it's kind of always with you. So you're trying to block something out that's kind of nearly always there. And I have to say that I was kind of nervous to think too much about yesterday, about what the potential outcome was, but I don't think I realised how great the relief would be until I was actually in that situation yesterday. Like, I literally felt physically lighter, if that doesn't sound too crazy. Like, that when I was walking out of the court, I did feel, and you know, you hear people say, kind of when you're listening to other people's stories from the past, you hear people say it's a sense of relief. But I really feel like I know what they mean now after going through that yesterday, that it is unbelievable, because the process obviously takes a long period of time and it's very lonely in that space. It can feel very isolating in that time as well. And when you walk out and you feel like, you know, you've kind of listened to and vindicated, it is an incredible feeling. And that's the other thing to keep other people going who might be in the middle of taking a case, or, you know, like, there's from start to finish, it all takes a very long time, but it is, I would definitely encourage people to stick with it and don't give up on their situations.
As you say, the legal part of all of this came to an end yesterday and Sean Tyrrell was given a jail sentence. But how are you now?
Yeah, so I definitely think, and I find it difficult, to be honest, to acknowledge this about myself, but it has changed my life, and not in a positive way. Like, I have very serious issues with trust as a result of this. I don't see that ever leaving me. And, you know, I do find, you know, I maybe question people more that come into my life, and I keep my circle very, very small. And that is difficult. And it's difficult to, I think, have to kind of acknowledge that about yourself. But I am really, really glad that I did see this through to the end and that there was justice yesterday. And I do feel very strongly about that. And I do feel like I was listened to. And I also hope that it might give other people, even if they don't feel at this point that they want to come forward with something, even if it makes them reach out to Women's Aid or to a local refuge that can help them and support them, because the support that you get at that level is non-judgmental. And I think that that's so, so important in all these situations. You know, and just to say, I suppose, to anybody listening in that feels that they have a family member or a friend in this situation, the best thing you can do is be a support and be a non-judging support. And it can be hard to do that. Everyone rushes in to say, get out of the situation. What are you doing in that relationship? That's the easy thing to say. The difficult thing to do is to sit and be with someone and listen to them and be non-judgmental. And that's what people in similar situations need. So there's brilliant aspects to my life that I embrace every day. And I'm hoping now just to kind of focus on the future and really genuinely putting this behind me now that the court process is done.
And that was Sinn Féin MEP Kathleen Funchan talking to me just before we came on air. And as she said, help is available. The number for Women's Aid is 1800 341 900. That's 1800 341 900. There's also a number for Men's Aid. That's a Dublin number. It's 01 554 3811. That's 554 3811. And the RTE website always has details of other helplines where you can find them on rte.ie/helplines.